Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6, Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 in Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by Whiskey 8, Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. You have many net controls this evening. I'm merely opening it up. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen. I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where it's currently a temperature of about 71 degrees. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, come aboard. Hearing no emergency traffic, that's always a great thing. How about anyone celebrating a birthday? Maybe today, maybe this week, maybe the upcoming week that would like to come aboard. All right, no birthday stations. No one's getting any older. And I apologize for my voice. I've been a little bit under the weather, so my voice is a little low. So this is the monthly Thursday informational net open forum, TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. And I do want to advise that this session is being recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. So all stations participating will be part of that recording. Our program tonight is entitled HF Propagation. So hopefully you'll enjoy and, like I said, ask questions of those guest speakers. With that, I'm going to throw that right directly over to you, Dave, TW8SZL, for you to begin the program. Are you ready?
I most certainly am, and thank you very much indeed. Okay, good evening all. Dave, Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima here from Wales in the United Kingdom. And we will be flying high tonight, so please remember to wear your oxygen mask above 10,000 feet. Radio propagation is the behavior of radio waves as they travel or are propagated from one point to another in a vacuum or into various parts of the atmosphere. As a form of electromagnetic radiation, like light waves, radio waves are affected by the phenomena of reflection, refraction, diffraction, absorption, polarization, and scattering. Understanding the effects of varying conditions on radio propagation has many practical applications, from choosing frequencies for amateur radio communications, international shortwave broadcasters, to designing reliable mobile telephone systems, to radio navigation, and to the operation of radar systems. Several different types of propagation are used in practical radio transmission systems. Line of sight propagation means radio waves which travel in a straight line from the transmitting antenna to the receiving antenna. Line of sight transmission is used for medium distance radio transmissions, such as cell phones, cordless phones, walkie-talkies, wireless networks, FM radio, television broadcasting, radar, and satellite communications such as satellite television. Line of sight transmission on the surface of the Earth is limited to the distance to the visual horizon, which depends on the height of transmitting and receiving antennas. It is the only propagation method possible at microwave frequencies and above. At lower frequencies, in the MF, LF, and VLF bands, diffraction allows radio waves to bend over hills and around other obstacles and travel beyond the horizon, following the contour of the Earth. These are called surface waves or ground wave propagation. AM broadcasts and amateur radio stations use ground waves to cover their listening areas. As the frequency gets lower, the attenuation with distance increases. So very low frequency, that's VLF, to extremely low frequencies, ELF, ground waves can be used to communicate worldwide. VLF to ELF waves can penetrate significant distances through water and earth. And these frequencies are used for mine communications and military communications with submerged submarines. At medium wave and shortwave frequencies, that's the MF and HF bands, radio waves can refract from the ionosphere. Now this means that medium and shortwave radio waves transmitted at an angle into the sky can be refracted back to Earth at great distances beyond the visible horizon, even transcontinental distances. This is called skywave propagation. It is used by amateur radio operators to communicate with operators in distant countries and by shortwave broadcast stations to transmit internationally. Now, in addition to these, there are several less common radio propagation mechanisms, such as tropospheric scattering, also known as troposcatter, tropospheric ducting, known as ducting at VHF frequencies, and near-vertical incident skywaves, that's November Victor India Sierra NVIS, which are used when HF communications are desired within a few hundred miles. Okay, this is GW8SZL, Dave over here in Newport, South Wales. Does anybody like to check in or got any questions or comments? If so, please call now.
K2HA.
Okay, I've got you there, Fred, K2HA, and I see the other station managed to disconnect with the DTMF tones. Is there anybody else apart from Fred? Okay, hearing nobody else, Fred, you're on your own this evening. K2HA from GW8SZL, go right ahead.
GW8SZL, Dave over there in South Wales. This is Fred, K2HA in Broomall, Pennsylvania. So one of the questions that I have about propagation, and I really haven't figured it out yet, maybe I never will, is why I can connect to a station across the United States and get back a, you know, a very good report, like a 5.7, 5.8, 5.9, and I tune on my transceiver and I can barely hear them. Sometimes I can't hear them at all, and so I'll use an SDR someplace else in the country to connect. But so do I understand it correct that propagation can go one way and not the other? Back to you, Dave. This is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, K2HA from GW8SZL. Right, propagation. Yes. Yeah, I've actually experienced on quite a few occasions one-way propagation, to be honest. So, yes, it can. But I've also found that if the other station is not using a resonant antenna, it might be very good at receiving, but not at transmitting. So, and I've also done experiments with that over the years, and I found that to be true as well. So I always, where possible, try and have a resonant antenna on each of the actual HF bands where possible to at least eliminate that possibility. But yeah, I've experienced one-way propagation on a really good resonant antenna without an actual antenna matching unit there, Fred. Go ahead.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you very much for that answer. I'll have to fit that into my the memory banks. Usually I'm contacting a park, parks on the air, and they usually don't have any interference in their area and a low noise level, whereas I'm in the city suburbs and we have pretty high noise level on the band, so that might also give a problem with the receiving part on my part. I'm going to be interested to hear about what times of day the signals are best to propagate, and what times of day do they go straight out into the ionosphere and beyond. This is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, K2HA from GW8SZL. Well, we'll go back to the high noise levels and stuff like that. Well, the best actual HF rig that I've ever used in a high noise environment is the FTDX10, which has got an SDR type receiver in it. It takes a little while to get used to all the controls on it to actually get the best signal to noise ratio, but it is really, really good at it. That's for sure. But I say it is a little bit of a learning curve. if you fiddle things too far in one direction, it puts a derogatory effect on the received signal. But the right combination, and it works extremely well. And it depends what you want there, Fred. Daylight paths normally for 10 meters, 21, 10 meters, 15 meters, and there and about there. And obviously sunspots and coronal mass ejections causes weird and wonderful effects like killing HF completely. The gray line path is good for DX, and of course you've got the short path and the long path. But the gray line is very good, and that's where you get the gray line between the night and day line there. And anywhere along that line, you can get some really good DX. But as I say, you've got to be up just before sunrise or just after sunset normally. But that's about it. I like gray line myself, but I have to say I do like the receiver on the FTDX10. But I do like my ST902DM and the 101s as well. But, they're not that good with high noise levels on receive. K2HA, GW8SZL.
Well, thank you, Dave. Peace and blessings. I will be listening with open ears to learn a whole lot about the propagation and the ionosphere levels, etc. Thank you, Dave. This is Fred, K2HA. Back to you.
Yeah, K2HA from GW8SZL. Yeah, propagation is just sort of, what works for somebody, depending on the antenna they're using, might not work for somebody else, about 20 miles down the road. And it's the same as antenna theory. You can model antennas, with software, but they never actually work exactly as the ideal model there in the software. Some work better. Again, it depends on the conductivity of the ground. If you're close to salt water and you've got a high water table and all the rest of it. You can actually get 10 different answers to one particular question if you ask 10 different people there. Hi. Okay, is there anybody else who'd like to check in or got any comments or questions? GW8SZL.
This is Kilo 7, Papa Charlie Hotel. I'm listening from work, so I can't really interact. I just wanted to check in and say this is my first time checking in on this net. I saw it posted on Facebook, and that question was great, and the answer was great, because I'm a new ham of 2 months, so it's very informative for me to hear that all explained again. So I do have to get back to work, but I will be listening. Thank you very much. This is Kilo 7, Papa Charlie Hotel.
Okay, Kilo 7, Papa Charlie Hotel. Hi there, Mike, and welcome to Ham Radio, and thanks for checking in. So we'll no doubt talk to you again further down the log. Okay, having no further check-ins, we're out with the mic there, KK7PCH. I'm going to pass it over now to the Chief. That's Roger. The Chief there, that's Whiskey 4 Romeo, Foxtrot Juliet. Take it away, Chief.
Well, thank you, Dave, and please pass along a bunch of hugs and smooches to the Hamley over there across the pond. This is W4RFJ. Good evening. This is Chief. I'm low on oxygen but full of caffeine, so let's see what happens. The next topic that I've been assigned to discuss is the free space propagation. Well, in free space, all electromagnetic waves, such as radio, light, x-rays, etc., they obey the inverse square law, which states that the power density of an electromagnetic wave is proportional to the inverse of the square of the distance. And I'm like, you know, first time I heard that, which was many moons ago, I went, All right, so at typical communication distances from a transmitter, the transmitting antenna usually can be approximated by a point source. Doubling the distance of a receiver from a transmitter means that the power density of the radiated wave at that new location is reduced to one quarter of its previous value. The power density per surface unit is proportional to the product of the electric and magnetic field strengths, thus doubling the propagation path distance from the transmitter reduces each of these received field strengths over a free space by one half. Radio waves in a vacuum travel at the speed of light. The Earth's atmosphere is thin enough that radio waves in the atmosphere travel very close to the speed of light, but variations in density and temperatures can cause slight refraction or bending of the waves over distances. Sorry about that. Direct modes, such as line of sight. Line of sight refers to radio waves which travel directly in a line from the transmitting antenna to the receiving antenna, often also called direct wave. It does not necessarily require a cleared sight path. At lower frequencies, radio waves can pass through buildings, foliage, and other obstructions. This is most common propagation mode at VHF and above, and the only possible mode at microwave frequencies above and above. On the surface of the Earth, line of sight propagation is limited by the visual horizon to about 40 miles, and I think that's right about 64 kilometers. Let me grab a nickel real quick. This is the method used by cell phones, cordless phones, walkie-talkies, wireless network, point-to-point, microwave radio relay links, FM and television broadcasting and radar, satellite communication uses longer line of sight paths. For example, home satellite dishes receive signals from communication satellites that are about 22,000 miles, that's about 35,000 kilometers above the Earth. And ground stations can communicate with spacecraft billions of miles away. Let me reset again. Ground plane reflection effects are an important factor in VHF line of sight propagation. The interference between the direct beam line of sight and the ground reflected beam often leads to an effective inverse fourth power, 1 divided by the distance to the fourth power, law for ground plane limited radiation. Lower frequencies, let's say between 30 and 300 kilohertz, vertically polarized radio waves can travel as surface waves following the contour of the Earth. This is called ground wave propagation. I think Dave mentioned that a little bit earlier. In this mode, the radio wave propagates by interacting with the conductive surface of the Earth. The wave clings to the surface and thus follows the curvature of the Earth. So ground waves can travel over mountains and beyond the horizon. Ground waves propagate in a vertical polarization, so vertical antennas, monopoles, are required. Since the ground is not a perfect electrical conductor, ground waves are attenuated as they follow the Earth's surface. Attenuation is proportional to the frequency, so ground waves are the main mode of propagation at lower frequencies, such as in the MF, LF, and VLF bands. Ground waves are also used by radio broadcasting stations in the MF and LF bands and for time signals and radio navigation systems. At even lower frequencies in the VLF and ELF bands, an Earth ionosphere waveguide mechanism allows even longer range transmissions. These frequencies are used for secure military communications. They can also penetrate to a significant depth in seawater and so are used one-way military communications to submerged submarines. Early long-distance radio communications, wireless telegraphy, before the mid-1920s, used low frequencies in the long-wave bands and relied exclusively on ground-wave propagations. Frequencies above 3 megahertz were regarded as useless and were given to the hobbyists, us radio amateurs. The discovery around 1920 of the ionospheric reflection or skywave mechanism made the medium wave and short wave frequencies useful for long distance communication, and they were allocated to commercial and military users. All right, I think I got through my part of the net here. We're looking for check-ins and any questions before we turn it over to the next narrator. Please call W4RFJ.
XCX.
Woody Prime, good evening. What you got for us there, shipmate?
Not a whole lot, buddy. Just listening in, getting some more information, and seeing what's going on there. Didn't want to review it after the fact. I wanted to listen to it tonight as y'all give it. So do a good job, buddy. We'll see you later on in 5XCX.
Okay, Woody, we thank you for your check-in, and make sure you give Jimmy a big hug and a squeeze from us here on South Cars or Scars. Anybody else would like to check in, please call W4RFJ.
W4RFJ, this is Kilo Charlie 5 Golf Foxtrot Lima. Fred here in Arkadelphia. Great information.
Okay, Fred, we got you. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for the compliments. Is there anybody else that would like to jump in, ask a question, or wave their hand? Please come now, W4RFJ. Okay, hearing none, we pass it on to our good friend, the alien life form. Greg, it's your turn. Pick her up and take off with it, W4RFJ. I'm clear and listening.
Well, thank you very much. This is Greg, KE5ALF, the resident alien life form. I'm going to start off by talking about non-line-of-sight modes. Non-line-of-sight modes, NLOS, radio propagation, occurs outside of the typical line of sight, also known as LOS, between the transmitter and receiver, such as in ground reflections. Near line of sight, also NLOS, conditions refer to partial obstruction by a physical object present in the innermost Fresnel zone. Obstacles that commonly cause NLOS propagation include buildings, trees, hills, mountains, and in some cases high voltage electric power lines. Some of these obstructions reflect certain radio frequencies, while some simply absorb or garble the signals. But in either case, they limit the use of many types of radio transmissions, especially when low on power. Lower power levels of the receiver reduce the chance of successfully receiving a transmission. Low levels can be caused by at least three basic reasons. Low transmitter level, for example, Wi-Fi power levels. Far away transmitters, such as 3G, more than 5 miles, 8 kilometers. Or TV, more than 31 miles away, about 50 kilometers. And obstructions between the transmitter and receiver, leaving no clear path. NLOS lowers the effective receive power. Near line of sight can usually be dealt with using better antennas, but non-line of sight usually requires alternative paths or multi-path propagation methods. Let me reset here real quick. How to achieve effective NLOS networking has become one of the major questions of modern computer networking. Currently, the most common method for dealing with NLOS conditions on wireless computer networks is simply to circumvent the NLOS condition and place relays at additional locations, sending the content of the radio transmission around the obstructions. Some more advanced NLOS transmission schemes now use multipath signal propagation, bouncing the radio signal off of other nearby objects to get it to the receiver. Non-line of sight NLOS is a term often used in radio communications to describe a radio channel or link where there is no visual line of sight. between the transmitting antenna and the receiving antenna. In this context, LOS is taken. Either as a straight line free of any form of visual obstruction, even if it is actually too distant to see with the unaided human eye. As a virtual LOS, such as a straight line between visually obstructing material, thus leaving sufficient transmission for radio waves to be detected. Let me reset here again real quick. There are many electrical characteristics to the transmission media that affect the radio wave propagation, and therefore the quality of operation of a radio channel. If it is possible at all over an LOS pass, the acronym NLOS has become more popular in the context of wireless local area networks, or WLANS. The wireless metropolitan area networks such as WinMax, because the capability of such links to provide a reasonable level of NLOS coverage greatly improves their marketability and versatility in the typical urban environments where they are most frequently used. However, NLOS contains many other subsets of radio communications. The influence of a visual obstruction on an NLOS link may be anything from negligible to complete suppression. An example might apply to a LOS path between a television broadcast antenna and a roof-mounted receiving antenna. If a cloud passed between the antennas, the link could actually become NLOS, but the quality of the radio channel could be virtually unaffected. If instead of a large building was constructed in the path making it NLOS, the channel may be impossible to receive. Beyond line of sight, known as BLOS, is a related term often used in the military to describe radio communications capabilities that link personnel or systems too distant or too fully obstructed by terrain for LOS communication. These radios utilize active repeaters, ground wave propagation, tropospheric scattered links, and ionospheric propagation to extend communication ranges from a few kilometers to a few thousand kilometers. Let me reset here real quick. Measuring HF propagation. HF propagation conditions can be simulated using radio propagation models such as the Voice of America Coverage and Analyst Program, and real-time measurements can be done using chirp transmitters. For radio amateurs, the WSPR mode provides maps with real-time propagation conditions between a network of transmitters and receivers. Even without special beacons, the real-time propagation conditions can be measured. A worldwide network of receivers decodes Morse code signals and amateur radio frequencies in real time and provides sophisticated search functions and propagation maps for every station received. At this time, I'm going to ask for if there's any check-ins or questions before I turn it over to our next commentator.
Victor Echo 7, Papa Golf Kilo. Just checking in, no questions. Sounds like an interesting net.
Well, thank you very much for checking in. We appreciate it. Is there anybody else who would like to check in? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to turn it over to Kilo Bravo 9, Echo Wickle Whiskey Golf. David, are you there, sir? It's your turn.
Well, thank you, Alf, our alien life form there. Thank you so much. Good evening to you and good evening to everybody else on the net. KB9EWT, David here. And since I am narrating the last section this evening, I'm not worried about oxygen as I'm wearing a parachute. Also, in the event of loose nuts and bolts, wrenches will pull off in the compartments of both there, so be prepared for that. Anyways, the average person can notice the effects of changes in radio propagation in several ways. In AM broadcasting, dramatic ionospheric changes that occur overnight in medium wave band drive a unique broadcast license scheme in the United States with entirely different transmitter power outputs, levels, and directional antenna patterns to cope with skywave propagation at night. Very few stations are allowed to run without modifications during dark hours, typically only those on clear channels in North America. Many stations have no authorization to run at all outside of daylight hours. We're up and broadcasting and a few remaining low-band TV stations. Weather is primary cause of changes in VHF propagation, along with some diurnal changes when the sky is mostly without cloud cover. These changes are most obvious during the temperature inversions, such as in the late night and early morning hours, when it is clear, allowing the ground and air near it to cool more rapidly. This is not only the cause of dew, frost, or fog, but also causes a slight drag in the bottom of the radio waves, bending the signals around, bending the signals down such that they can follow the Earth's curvature over the normal radio horizon. The result typically is several stations being heard from another media market. Let me reset here. Okay, continuing. Usually a neighboring one, but sometimes ones from a few hundred kilometers, miles away. Ice storms are also the result of inversions, but normally cause more scattered omnidirectional propagation, resulting mainly in interference often among weather radio stations. In late spring and early summer, a combination of other atmospheric factors can occasionally cause skips that duct high power signals to places over 1,000 kilometers or 600 miles away. I'm reciting here. Non-broadcast signals may also be affected. Mobile phone signals are in UHF band ranging from 700 to over 2600 megahertz, a range which makes them even more prone to weather-induced propagation changes in urban and to some extent suburban areas. With a high population density, this is partly offset by the use of smaller cells, which use lower effective radiating power, and beam tilt to reduce interference, therefore increase frequency reuse and use capacity. However, since this would be very cost effective in more rural areas, these cells are larger and do some more likely and are so more likely to cause interference over longer distances when propagation conditions allow. While it is generally transparent to the user thanks to the way that cellular networks handle cell-to-cell handoffs, when a cross-border signals are involved, unexpected charges for intentional roaming may occur, despite not having left the country at all. Remember I said there? This often occurs between southern San Diego and northern Tijuana and the western end of U.S.-New Mexico border, and between eastern Detroit and western Windsor along with the U.S. and Canadian border. Since signals can travel unobstructed over a body of water far larger than the Detroit River, and cool water temperatures also cause inversions in surface air, this fringe roaming sometimes occurs across the Great Lakes. And between islands in the Caribbean, signals can skip from the Dominican Republic to a mountainside in Puerto Rico and vice versa, or between U.S. and British Virgin Islands, among others, while unintended cross-border roaming is often automatically removed by mobile phone company billing systems. Inter-island roaming typically is not. Empirical models, a radio propagation model, also known as radio wave propagation mode or model, or radio frequency propagation model is an empirical mathematical formulation for the characterization of radio wave propagation as a function of frequency, distance, and other conditions. A single model is used, usually developed to predict behavior of propagation for all similar links under similar constraints, created with the goal of formalizing the radio waves are propagated from one place to another. Such models typically predict path loss along the a link or current effective coverage area of a transmitter. At this time, I'll look for any questions or comments or check-ins. This is KB9EWG. Okay, I'll look again one more time for any questions, comments, or check-ins before I go ahead and secure the net here. KB9EWG.
Hotel Alpha.
Well, good evening, Fred. K2HA. Go ahead.
Very good, David. This is Fred, K2HA. Lot of information here in different categories. So I'm going to have to listen to this again. I'm assuming the podcast will be up soon. And so thank you all very much for putting this all together, and very stimulating. So I'm going to have to check out some of the things I didn't know about. This is Fred, K2HA. Back to you, David.
Well, you know, I've done a lot of HF there and worked a lot of stations worldwide, got many awards. And when I got contacted by Gordon to be part of this presentation tonight, I thought, oh, what a great topic to discuss tonight there. So, and yeah, I might have to re-listen and even look over the script myself again because it was interesting. Great topic there, Gordon, if you're listening. I'm sure you are. Once again, nice job on the other narrators. Anything else from your friend there, K2HA from KB9EWG?
Well, no, it's just I play with propagation, and I learn a lot. One of the things I'm hoping to do, maybe I'll construct it this winter, is to have make a beverage antenna, because apparently this antenna that is close to the Earth can pick up signals, but doesn't pick up all the static and stuff from the atmosphere. So as a receiving antenna. And so I need to buy a dongle to connect it to it, and so I can listen to a beverage antenna and see if that will work and eliminate some of the noise in the Philadelphia area. Okay, thank you, David. This is Fred, K2HA.
Well, I hope you got the real estate to do that, Fred, because a beverage antenna usually is a pretty big antenna, so hope you've got the real estate. So this is KB9EWG with the Thursday Information Net this evening discussing HF propagation here. Anybody else have any questions, comments, or check-ins before I secure the net? Go ahead. Okay, hearing nothing else, before we close this evening, allow me to tell a short story. I overheard two hams talking about HF propagation. One ham said to the other ham, propagation is just like a game of pool. If you shoot the cue ball correctly, you can end up anywhere and you would like to go. I'll leave this for you folks to ponder. Okay, everybody, thanks for coming. This has been the SCARS. VOIP, net schedules, and general information may be found on our website, scarsvoip.com. That is scarsvoip.com. I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. Goodnight to one and all. From KB9EWG and the SCARS staff, the session is now closed, and I'm going to return the server to normal amateur use. 7-3-0, KB9EWG is now clear.